Thank you very much, and everybody, welcome to our second quarter results conference call. We're looking forward to getting into it. If you all have the presentations in front of you, what I would propose, we have a section at the beginning that's background on the company. I think many of you have seen this before in previous calls. And also, if you haven't seen it, feel free to peruse it yourselves and send us any questions. I would propose that we move on directly to the results, starting on page 14. So if I can ask everybody to forward to page 14, we'll get started from there. So second quarter, we have a summary here. Revenues are up 19% year over year to 70 million RON. We have very good performance on margins. You see our adjusted EBITDA has grown 38% year over year to 23.1. That's an acceleration from previous quarter and brings us up to 33.1% overall EBITDA margin, which is also an increase quarter over quarter or year over year. Net income is also up significantly. It's a 41% year over year growth, bringing us up to 22.8%. Net income margin. Both of those are significant improvements over previous quarter and previous year. Moving to page 15, we have some highlights. We'll go through this quickly and then we'll get into some of the details in the subsequent pages. So overall revenue growth was solid. We're up 19% year over year to 70 million on a high base compared to last year. Romania continues to be the largest growth engine for us. Growth accelerated to 57% year over year in Q2 and 44% in the first half. Premiumization continues with the Purcari brands, Bardar, and Ceptura now growing much faster than Bostavan. On that note, we do exhibit some underperformance on Bostavan. It grew at only 3%, which pulls down the overall average, especially in the export markets, where the economy segment, Bostavan, tends to be the lead-in product. Most of this is the result of management efforts at prioritizing premiumization and targeting higher margins, which tends to result in slower volume growth, but better margins, which we have seen. We are in the process of reconfiguring our branding, which I'll get into a little bit later on Bostavan. The big news we are very happy to announce is on the margin improvements. So gross margin was virtually flat. We consider this actually to be a big success in the face of a continuing Forex movement against us. The Moldovan lei continued to get stronger by about 7% this quarter due to the very good efforts of our sales teams in terms of premiumization and in selected price increasing. We've actually been able to fully offset that and keep our gross margin flat. We've also had very good control on our SG&A, even though we have some new expenses following the IPO. But we have been able to push EBITDA margins up 4.5 percentage points above what is typical for this time in the first half. We also expect further improvements in our margins in the second half, not just the seasonality, but also due to some tax reforms that are being implemented by the Moldovan government. So we actually do expect to see margins continue to improve strongly into the second half. We have a lot very good quality feedback also. For the first time, we've reached a record 50 medals, won year to date in the top wine competitions, showing a continuing improvement in the quality of our wines. Our average consumer feedback through the Vivino application has also continued to improve. We've climbed to an average 4.0 versus 3.9 and are up over 18,000 reviews. We've also had very good summer sales and feedback on our 2017 whites and rosés, which are also recipients of several of the aforementioned medals. And when it comes to our guidance, we'll get into this a little bit more, but we're also very happy to announce that we are improving our guidance on the margins. We're increased our EBITDA and net income guidance by 1% to 34 to 37% for EBITDA and 24 to 27% for net income. We also maintain our revenue guidance as it was. If we turn to page 16, we can start to get into some of the specific country results and performance. First, obviously, Romania, which is our largest market and our growth driver. Q2 accelerated to 57%. Per car specifically in Romania was up 66%. And long term, we still see a lot of upside potential in the Romanian market, particularly from Crama Ceptura brand, which is playing also now in the mainstream segment with our new product that we've discussed in previous calls. This was up 40% in the first half and 40% in Q2. Overall, our market share in Romania is still only 9%, which means we still have plenty of running room there. Moldovan growth slowed down in Q2 following the very strong shipments in Q1. And we are starting to see good traction in the new products from Sparkling in the Bostavan brand. It's a very large segment in Moldova where we're only just starting. There's a lot of upside potential there, and we expect to see very good results in the second half, which is the typical seasonality for sparkling wines. We get to Poland and some of the export markets, and this is some of the underperformance that we mentioned with Bostavan. The brand is underperforming in Poland. We are working on a brand rejuvenation campaign that would target the younger millennial market more in line with our other brands, and also more in line with the emerging wine drinking community in these countries. Asia, Q2 sales were up 44% following a drop in Q1 as a result of delayed shipments from the fourth quarter of 2017. This created an inventory hangover, if you remember, from the first quarter. We do expect continued strong growth in Q3. There were several large contracts that were signed, and we'll be seeing the results of those in the third quarter. Czech and Slovakia, we actually have good traction in Czech Republic, which helped us offset an earlier issue that we had with a financially stretched distributor in Slovakia. The first half in Slovakia was fairly weak. We have finalized a switch over to a new distributor in Slovakia, one of the top three, and expect to see that start to accelerate and have that whole area continue to improve. As with Poland, though, we are looking at a rejuvenation and rebranding of some of the Bostavan lines and the introduction of some new products that we believe will do better in these markets. Ukraine, we also have some strong continuing secondary sales. We actually had our main distributor reduce their inventory slightly in the second quarter. So while it looks like our shipments to them are in decline, the actual sales in the market were quite strong, and we do expect to see Ukraine start to catch up in the third and fourth quarter. Going on to page 17, you see the brand by brand. Purcari, which is still our largest share of sales, was up 24%. It's strong growth across the board, especially in Romania, where it continues to be the leader in premium segment. Brand reached 26% market share in Romania, where we've actually increased now in combination with Ceptura up to a total of 30% of the premium segment. And just for a perspective, the premium segment is defined as anything over 6 euro in Romania. So it's a pretty generous definition of premium. We do expect to see that segment grow significantly going forward. Bostavan, as we said, was underperforming. It was not our shining star this quarter. It was only plus 3% in the first half. We are working on this, and we do expect to see improvements in Bostavan and the export markets. Crama Ceptura, this is one of our success stories, is up 40%. This is due in large degree to the new product line Astrum, which targets the mass market, It's one of our new entrants. We've put a lot of marketing and advertising campaign behind it, and we've actually seen significant growth, which you can see impacting the entire brand line. It's still only at 4.3 market share, and there's still a lot of running room there. So we do expect continuing strong performance from Kramacheptura and the Astrum brand. And Bardar also continues to do very well year over year. It's got 28% year over year growth. As you remember, there was an exceptional first quarter for Bardar. So this just continues to be strong growth and very good margins. And coming to page 18, this is a bit of a focus on the Romanian market and why we expect that there is still a lot of upside opportunity there and still a lot of running room for us. So overall, we're only at 9% market share in Romania. And if you see the first graph, it actually breaks this down regionally. You can see that our main area of focus is Bucharest, where we have our best positioning at 12%. But you look at the central, west, northeast, and southwest, you can see that we actually still have only relatively small shares there. There's a lot of upside. We are actually working on campaigns and efforts to start increasing our shares in these additional regions, which will have obviously an overall impact to the entire group. If you look at the second graph, you also see our presence on the shelf for Kramacheptura. As we mentioned, the growth and success that we're having with the Astrum brand has really been driving the overall growth for Kramacheptura. And with only 72% listings on supermarket shelves and 39% in traditional retail, not only do we have market share, but we can also generate a lot more growth from increased listings, which is one of the areas of focus. We move on to page 19. So this is our overall summary financials. You obviously all have the detailed financial statements that you can download. What we see is the revenue grew at 19% year over year. Cost of sales is up 20%, driven in a large degree by the negative impacts of the foreign exchange, but offset by the improvements in the mix and the pricing. Gross profit is up 18%, with a gross profit margin at 51%. We have had good control of our SG&A, despite significant increases in administrative costs following the listings. We're up only 5%, which is less than the top line growth. Marketing and sales was one of the biggest drivers. It's up 34%. Big degree of that is due to the cost of new listings. So when you add a new product line to the shelf, it's a one-time upfront cost, and it acts a lot like an investment in future sales. A lot of this can be attributed to the listings of Astrum in a lot of the retail chains in Romania. G&A is actually down 1%, and other income is negligible. The overall impact is a significant improvement in EBITDA. We're up 32% year over year. Adjusted EBITDA is up to 33%, which is a 38% year over year growth. Net profit is up 41% to 23% net margin. On page 20, we give you a breakdown of some of the G&A expenses, which is a common question. We've highlighted the ones with significant increases or changes. Number one is employee costs. Most of this was the result of the ongoing Moldovan lei appreciation, 8.5% versus their own year over year. Depreciation is up 1.2, is up 83% year over year. This is essentially some investments in administrative cars and so forth. It's not a large amount, at only 0.86 RON. Professional fees, as you recall, this is primarily legal fees and compliance related to the listing. Those will not continue to grow. They'll flatten out. And further down on other line, you see a decrease in other expenses. We had a one-time provision last year that we're comparing to. This is not something that would repeat. So that was just a one-off. And the lower rate that you see in 2018 should become the norm. If you go on to page 21, you start to see the impacts of the Forex that we've mentioned. The Moldovan lei has continued to strengthen in face of major other currencies. As you see, versus the Romanian lei, we've had an 8.5% versus 2017. Moldovan lei versus the euro has had a 6% appreciation, and versus the U.S. dollar was 7.8%. So these do have an impact on our operating costs, much of which are Moldovan lei based, and when we convert them into Romanian lei, it does have an adverse effect. Although, as you see from our margins, we have been able to offset that. On to page 21, it's just an update. We like to brag a little bit towards the end about the quality of our wines. We're actually very proud of this. We continue to be the leading Central and Eastern European winery at the Decanter Awards. For 2015 to 18, we're number one with 43 medals. And as we said in the major wine competitions this year, we've actually reached 50, which is nearly doubling from last year's 26. So the quality of our wines continues to improve, and we are actually accelerating in the face of the experts and in face of the market. Page 23 is also some feedback from the consumers. It's the Vivino application shown from Romania and Ukraine. In Romania, we have two of the top five wines, according to Vivino, and six of the top 25. And if you look at some of the other wines in the top five and top 25, they're significantly more expensive than ours. So we continue to maintain that very important price-to-quality advantage over our competitors. Similar story in Ukraine, where we have four of the top five wines in Ukraine. Moving on to page 25, we'll bring back to really the best news of the day is our guidance. So organic revenue growth, we're maintaining that at 24% to 28%. First half is 19%, which is trending lower, but we've had an exceptional July with sales up more than 40%. August orders, preliminary orders, so it's not complete month yet, but are already up over 25% year over year, and our growth is accelerating going into the second half. Historically, 55 to 62% of the annual sales are made in the second half. It's a seasonality that comes with the business, and it compels us to maintain our guidance for organic revenue growth for the year end. The good news is the EBITDA margins and the net income margin. So it's higher in quarters where we have larger sales, which suggests that the second half should show continuing improvements to EBITDA margins. We also expect a windfall from a new tax reform in Moldova. Is a personal income tax rate 12%, down from I think it was 18% in the highest range before. So Moldovan government has approved a reduction in the personal income tax, along with the general improving trend in mix and premiumization. We expect to see our EBITDA margin continue to improve into the second half. Net income is also typically higher in quarters with larger sales, so we do expect this also to continue to improve in the third and fourth quarter. Both of these have led us to improve our guidance on both margins. We're increasing EBITDA up to 34 to 37% range and net income to 24 to 27%. think at this point, I would like to open up for questions from the field. If anybody has some questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. The first question is from Katalin Diakonu from Raiffeisen Bank. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. So I have two questions. So the first one will be rather technical. So what is the run rate right now for general and administrative expenses? Because from what I see, there are some variations between the first quarter and the second quarter, and this was not only this year but also last year. So I would assume that in the second quarter, most probably pay also some bonuses. So what would be the run rate for the second half, quarter by quarter? And also the second one would be if you can disclose what could be the impact of entering Lidl in Poland. Now, I don't know if you can give us something financial, but maybe also some KPIs, operational KPIs or something like that. It would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay, so your first question was on the run rate of G&A. We expect G&A to stay in line. You mentioned bonuses. The bonuses are booked and are spread evenly through the year. So there's generally no spikes up or down from bonuses. In terms of G&A, we've actually been able to keep this under pretty tight control. We did have a significant increase in G&A in the first quarter. As we've mentioned multiple times, this was related to the listing, increased in administrative costs, legal fees, and compliance. But those will flatten out, if not start to decline, as the amount of hours of legal work starts to decrease a little bit. For sure, it's not going to increase. So we can say that overall G&A, we should expect this to continue to stay in line. The question about Lidl in Poland was, it's a new contract. We just won this. The shipment started just in July. So it's difficult really to quantify it. They are a big player. They're one of the top players in Poland. It's very good for us to be getting into their chains. We're going to be working with them going forward to maximize the number of faces and SKUs that we have and the full penetration through all of their shops. But it really is a very positive step. Unfortunately, it'd be difficult and a little bit speculative at this point to try to quantify it, but it's definitely a very positive step for us.
Okay, thank you.
For any further questions, please press star and one. The next question is from Marko Daliajev from SEB. Please go ahead. Mr. Daliajev, your line is open.
Hi, and first of all, congratulations on excellent numbers. My question would be maybe a bit on macro front. I mean, you mentioned quite a bit the Moldovan lei appreciating against other major currencies for you. What is driving that, and if you could elaborate a bit more on the currency side? I mean, do you expect this kind of a pace of appreciation to continue that we've evidenced in the couple of last years, or should we be leveling off at some point? Thank you.
Sure. So to be quite honest, we cannot explain the strengthening of the Moldovan lei. There's a negative balance of trade and balance of payments. The macroeconomic is also an inflation rate in Moldova. None of these suggest that the currency should be strengthening. So to be sincere, we really can't explain it. I'm not a macroeconomist. What I do know is that it is counterintuitive that the Moldovan lei continues to increase. What we can do is we continue to take our actions to offset it. We feel we've been very successful in improving our mix and premiumization, and also selective and targeted price increases that have been able to help us improve margins, EBITDA and net income in particular. So we'll continue to do that, and we'll continue to watch it. But to be sincere, I honestly cannot logically explain why it continues to strengthen.
If I can add to that, Vasily speaking, just a couple of remarks. So just echoing what John has said, the current account deficit at the moment runs at about 7%. So clearly long term, this is not sustainable. And we believe there must be a correction at some point. The inflation rate is double, triple the rate of EU right? So the National Bank targets inflation. They don't target the foreign exchange rate. But at some point, a correction should happen. It's a bit of a peculiar currency indeed. So in 2009, for example, when most of the world currencies, emerging world currencies, depreciated versus euro and USD, Moldovan lei appreciated, so which was quite counterintuitive back then. But again, it fell over time. So as of now, we see that even things like what's happening in Turkey, where Russian ruble doesn't affect it, but in the end, we believe that sound microeconomics should prevail, and the currency
Thank
should
you.
Adjust.
Can I ask another question regarding labor? Do you see kind of tightening of the labor market for you? Is it easy to find stuff? I mean, if I'm looking H1 over H1, your employee costs were up 19%, while 8.5% of this in Q2 can be explained by RON depreciation versus the Moldovan lei. But still, we have something like 10%. I mean, is it the headcount increase, or what's the wage indexation that you're doing in Moldovan lei year over year in Q2, for example, and how do you see this going forward? Thank you.
Okay. Marco, can I ask you to repeat that a little bit? I'm not sure I got that 100%.
Sure.
Your question is about
labor cost indexation in Q2 and or labor, let's say wage indexation in Q2 and your outlook for that and overall maybe situation on the labor market that's concerning your business. Thank you.
Okay. So there's a couple of questions in there. The first is the labor market in general. Yes, there is a tightening of the labor market. There's increasing demand, and the population is shrinking. So we do deal with this as an ongoing part of our business. We have a very very preferential position in our wineries, where the vast majority of our employees are. It's mostly in the agriculture and production sectors. And in all of our markets, whether it's Purcar or Etulia, which is the main winery of Bostavan, or Crama-Ceptura, we're the 800-pound gorillas in the region. We are the largest employers. We are a stable source of employment and wages for the regions. So we have a very very close tie to our communities there. But what I can say is that gives us a unique position in that when there people are looking for employment, they're coming to us, and we get the first crack at all of the employees in those areas. So while there is an overall trend in the country, we are in actually very good position relative to the rest of the market. We're able to manage that quite well. We pay a pretty good wage. We tend to be over the minimum wage in agriculture and production. And so there is a cushion there. And we're in okay shape on that. We don't feel big inflation on wages. As I said, we do tend to pay slightly above the minimum wage for agriculture and production, which gives us a competitive advantage against those that cannot do that. Most of what you see in terms of the, now bringing it down to the specific level of our P&L, most of the impact that you see there is from the exchange rate. So the strengthening of the Moldovan lei, most of our salaries are paid in Moldovan lei. And that does contribute to the majority of the impact to our increase in salaries. Versus last year, we also had some increase in headcount, specific to the listings, and expansion of specific teams. But those are one-off flat, not necessarily expected to increase as the company grows. So as we do grow our top line, that will actually grow, become a smaller percentage. I hope that answered the question.
Yes, I'm just curious whether do you have like a policy of increasing the wages for the field workers with CPI, for example, or is it discretionary given your position on the market and the fact that you're such a big employer in your key production regions?
Mm-hmm. Up until now, it's been largely discretionary, done on an annual basis. But as I said, we do tend to be the top employer in every market, and we do tend to pay slightly higher than the market. However, we are also now working on developing our remuneration policy. This is something that's ongoing at the board level. It's one of the steps of becoming public. So we do intend to codify that and actually make it a part of a structured policy.
Maybe just to add to this is the new tax reform, because I think it's very, very relevant here. It's mostly about the employer's taxes. So most of the taxes, although most of the salary contracts are negotiated on net basis. So it's the employer paying also effectively paying the personal income tax of the employee. So this lowering from 18 to 12, the introduction of the flat personal income tax is quite significant, and the lowering of the employer social contribution tax from 23% to 18%. So it's 5 percentage points of the tax bill on this line alone. And this will start being reflected in October, so the law was signed by the president. It goes live October 1st, and we expect a positive outcome of that.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone. Once again, to ask a question, please press star and one. There are no further questions at this time. I hand back to Mr. John Maksymchuk for closing comments.
Okay, well, thank you everybody for your participation, and we hope you're appreciative of the good results. We're actually very happy here from what we saw in the second quarter. We're also more happy to improve our guidance and the profitability, and we look forward to speaking to you after the third quarter with some more good results. With that, if there are any further questions, of course, you can always contact us via email to our investor relations section, and we'd be happy to answer them then too. Thank you, everybody, and have a nice evening.